In Mark 6:34, it says, when Jesus came out and saw much people, he was moved with compassion toward them, because he knew they were sheep not having a shepherd. Now, when the Lord looks at lost people, now y'all listen to me, listen real close. I know they have nose rings, and I want to pick it. I know they do. I know they've got eyebrow studs, and I want to pluck it. I know they do. And really, the whole time I'm talking to you, if you got a stud or something in your nose, or something, I want to pull it. That's all I can think about. Really. I saw a preacher the other day. He had his hair almost shaved on his side. He had 2 feet of hair stuck up right there. You know what I'm talking about. Independent, fundamental, sometimes King James Baptist preacher. If his hair was not 4 inches high, you know, you European look. I wanted to cut it. That's all I could think about when I was talking to him. And I couldn't help it. As soon as I got out the door, I started laughing out loud. I said, I can't believe that guy says he's a Baptist. He's got that on his head. Look at that big old, I'm serious, this big old bun right there. But the Lord doesn't see that. That's not what he sees. Have you ever seen a real sheep in the natural? They're dirty animals. You never look at that dirty sheep and say, boy, that's going to make a beautiful sweater. Have you? No. It takes a lot of work to get that nasty coat made into something pretty. Amen? And so when the great shepherd looks at that sheep, he sees a nasty covered sheep, but he also sees a beautiful sweater one day too. Yeah. Went to a funeral. This young preacher came up to me a couple of years ago. He done shaved his head and polished it. He had an earring sticking right here. It was at a wedding, not a funeral. Wedding. Had an earring. Big, big gold earring. How many of y'all old enough remember Mr. Clean? That's all I could think. He talked. I don't know what he said. But I remember he said this, you know, you've always been my hero. And you look like that and you know me. No, you just told a lie. I ain't your hero. And he kept on talking, and this is what he said. He said, you looked at my earring, ain't you? And he smiled because I couldn't take my eyes off of it. My wife says my face reveals all my feelings. I said, yeah, I want to pull it. I said, I want to take it out. He said, well, some of the brethren don't like it. I said, I don't like it. He said, well, I've been debating on whether to take it out. I said, if you're waiting for my opinion, it's yes. If I'm his hero, yeah, give it back to your mama. Stay out of my preaching. Next time I saw him, he didn't have his earring. But the point being this, I'm not his shepherd. And I tell people sometimes, they'll cuss around, they'll say something, they'll cuss around me. And like I said, my face tells many stories I don't mean to say. And I make faces. My wife tells me I make faces. And so they'll look at me then they'll say, oh, I'm sorry, I forgot who you were. And I said, don't worry about me. I'm not the one writing it down. I'm not the one you got to give account to for that. It's the great shepherd, not the under shepherd, you're going to have to answer to. Because if you had to answer to me, a lot of people would already be in hell. Amen. But he has compassion on them. And such were some of you, he had compassion on you too. Amen. When I got saved, and his uncle worked with the best man of my wedding. His uncle worked with the man that was the best man at my wedding. And then years later, I got saved, and his uncle asked that man, and I can say his first name. His name was Junior. That's a pretty general name. And he said, Junior, what do you think about? And Ron Roddy, he said, he's a hypocrite. And I'd only been saved about a year. And he was one of them that deserted me after I got saved. He said, why would you say that about somebody that's gotten saved and they're going to church, they're trying to do better? Why would you say that? And Junior said, because no man can change that much. A man. Now, I'm not bragging on me. I'm saying, that's what I told him. I said, go back and tell him. I can't. He did it. Amen. Jesus did that. He's my shepherd. The shepherd put me in line. Amen. I tried many times and kept falling out of line. He put me in line. But the reason is, he had compassion on us. Now, as an under-shepherd, Jude says having compassion on some making a difference. I ought to be compassionate. I am. I don't know if you'll find a more pastor. But anyway, he is more compassionate than I am. And sometimes my wife, she'll look at me and she'll say, I don't know why you keep putting up with that guy. I don't know why you keep giving them more chances. I don't know why you do that. I never would do that. And I said, well, you're not the pastor. And I have to. Because I'm the under-shepherd. But see, only I can go so far. Even I can only go so far. But Jesus, he has true compassion.
Yes, sir.
And his love is never ending. His mercy endures forever. Amen?
Amen.
And then number two, I want you to notice this. In Mark 14:27, Jesus saith unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. He's the smitten shepherd.
Yeah.
Now listen, you go to work for people, sometimes you have a tyrant for a boss. You've talked about yours many times. You have a tyrant for a boss, but he's your shepherd while you're there. And he's in charge. Amen?
Yeah.
I've worked for Pharaoh. I know exactly how it feels. I've worked for Pharaoh. And he's a hard taskmaster. Amen? Very hard. But I'll tell you one thing. Jesus is compassionate and loving and gentle and kind. And he loves us so much that he let them smite him.
Right. Yeah.
Now your boss man never would take a slap for you. He wouldn't take a hit for you. But Jesus will. They nailed him on the cross. And every bit of that pain, every whip, every spittle, every curse word, every foul thing they did to him was for me and you. He was smitten for us. It was for our iniquities he was nailed to that cross. Now, I love you. I love you. I love everybody. I've been through some things since I've been saved. See, if you ever get called to preach and become pastor, you don't know what attacks are. You don't know what slander is. You don't know until you get to doing that. And then the least little thing, some people are looking to crucify you. And that little snowflake will turn into a giant slide, you know, and they just and hurt you. And they'll hurt your wife. And they'll hurt your children. And they'll try to stop you, ruin your reputation, ruin your family, things like that. Y'all don't know. Do any preacher? They just don't know.
That's right.
Like wolves, man, they'll pack up and attack you and try to destroy you.
Yes,
and there's been time, Brother Billy, where I'd get on the altar here or in another church and I'd say, God, I want to hate them. I want to hate them. But I can't.
Yeah.
I want to get even, but I can't.
Right.
It's not in me. Hate's not in me anymore. The love of God came in. All that went out.
Amen.
And even though they hate me and consider me their enemy, I'm not their enemy. I'm not against them. I'm for them. And I've had many come back and apologize for what they've done. But you know, gossip, slander, and attacks with the tongues and stuff is kind of like that story I've told y'all about that lady in the church. She was always gossiping. People complained about her gossiping. Finally, the pastor called her in the office. I need to talk to you about you gossiping. And she said, well, I'm just telling the truth. I'm spreading the truth. I'm not trying to hurt anybody. And if I have, I'm sorry. And I take it back. And he walked over to his chair and he picked up a big old a feather pillar and he followed me out in the yard and he went out in the yard and he ripped that thing open and he shook all those feathers out there in the wind. They went everywhere. And after a few seconds, he looked at her and he said, go get all them feathers. She said, Pastor, that's impossible. There's no way I could get all those feathers. I don't even know where all of them went. He said, you'll gossip the same way. Doesn't matter how many times you apologize or say I'm sorry, you'll never get it back.
That's right.
You'll never get it back.
Yeah.
Amen? But let me tell you something. When Christ gets in you, he gets smitten for you. He don't smite
That's
you.
Right. That's right.
He gets smitten for you. Now, if I got what I deserve, I'd have died and went to hell. Since I've been saved, if I got what I deserve, I'd die. It don't take but one sin to deserve hell. Amen? Everybody in here is guilty. So therefore, he took every bit of that, past, present, future. He took every bit of it. I talked bad about him. He forgave me. I cursed his name. He forgave me. I called his book a lie, and he forgave me. I made fun of his children and persecuted his children growing up, and he forgave me. You know why? Because he had already paid for every bit of that on the cross.
That's right.
He was the smitten shepherd. He laid down his life for the sheep.
Yes.
Now, I don't know. I'm not a sheep farmer, cattle farmer, or anything else. Brother Holroyd is. I call him Gil Favor. He's got all them cattle, you know, like the rawhide, you know. And but I don't know a whole lot. But I read somewhere one time that in the Bible it talks about the sheep being gathered up and they've been put in the hedges and things like that. And they said out in the wilderness, they would, or whatever, you know, the pastures, they would herd them up in a corner where there was big cliffs or rocks or something. And so they wouldn't get out and get eaten by the wolves, you know, and things like that. And said the shepherd would lay in the entrance and sleep in the entrance toward his sheep.
Yeah.
And then the Bible says Jesus is the gate to the sheepfold.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
And he was smitten for us. We don't have a high priest that cannot be touched by our infirmities. We have one. He's ever present. He's always listening. Amen.
Yes.
I'm glad it's a bunch of... I'm sorry, y'all foreigners and aliens, for what I'm fixing to say, okay? I'm from South Carolina. I got to say this. All these Catholic Yankees moving down here. And they go over this. They have... Did you know that St. Anne's Church used to be the smallest church in York County? Catholic Church. What, when I was growing up, there wasn't hardly anybody in it. Hardly anybody. You remember that? I mean, we didn't have Catholics. You was either lost or going to hell. There wasn't no Catholics. Back then, there wasn't much division. It was either you're lost, you're going to hell, and there were very few Christians, and there were no Catholics.
And it's still that way.
So, the people from up north move in, and 90% of them is Catholic. And now the Spanish, they move in. Have you ever been over there while they were having the Catholic church? I rode by. They have to park in their parking lot and across the street in the old Trinity School parking lot and all up and down the street. There's thousands of those Catholics. And you know who their shepherd is? The Pope. And the man's a liar and a crook. And don't tell me he don't know it, because how could he stand up and say he is the mouthpiece of God when he knows in his heart he is not the mouthpiece of God? He's a liar, he's a crook. And I'm going to go a little bit farther. And it, somebody might be watching. And it, hey, if this offends you, check it out. That man, listen, that Pope, Martin Luther, when he was called before the Pope, because he went against teachings of the Catholic Church, and he was called before the Pope, he called him your hellishness. Not your highness.
That's right.
He called him the Antichrist. And he wouldn't kiss his ring. Now there's nobody on this world that loves you like Jesus.
Right.
Nobody in this whole wide world loves you the way Jesus does.
Right.
And I'm going to tell you something else. The Pope never would lay down his life for you. But he sure let you lay down yours for him.
Yes, sir.
I better go on. Now, he's not only the smitten and compassionate shepherd, but I want you to notice this, if you have your Bible. In Luke 15:5, it says, "And when he had found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing."
Amen.
Boy, he went out there and he's looking for that lost sheep. And let me tell you something, a shepherd will go look for his sheep.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to pastor, you've been pastor before, you'll be able to say amen on this. I wouldn't give you a nickel for a pastor that didn't seek his sheep.
That's
when they
right.
wandered off.
Yes, sir.
Amen?
Amen.
I went to see a couple the other day, and they I think they did join the church. I'm not sure. Several years ago, young couple. And they'll come 3 or 4 Sundays, then they'll disappear, and about a month or two later, I'll go round them up at their house. And I went down there, and he said, "Well, Pastor, I knew you was coming." I said, "How'd you know I was coming?" He said, "Well, we've been out of church about 3 months." And I told my wife yesterday, "The pastor's coming around pretty soon. Watch what I tell you." And I learned running those bus routes all those years. Hey, if you'll go see them, they'll come.
Yes, sir.
But I wouldn't give you a plug. I wouldn't give you a $3 bill. I can't say $2 no more. I wouldn't give you a $3 bill for a shepherd that doesn't love his sheep to go seek them.
Yes, sir.
And Jesus went out there and got that sheep. And listen, he carried the burden.
Yes, sir.
Sometimes I tell people, you come to church, we'll share your burden. Ephesians says, bear you one another's burdens. Amen?
Amen.
That's what a pastor is. The modern day pastor is nothing but an executive. He's nothing but a businessman. He's got a business plan on how he's going to grow this organization, and it's a business. And you go over there to Elevation, join the church. I D-double dog dare you. Just try this. Go over to Elevation, join the church. Go to Transformation, join the church. Go to any of those places, join that church. Go about a month. Speak to the pastor every Sunday. Make sure you see him and talk to him. And then don't go back. And I'll guarantee you he will not show up at your door.
Go ahead.
Right.
Go ahead.
I'll tell you this too. Go to the hospital. He won't be there.
That's right.
I try to get people to come to church. They'll say, I watch T.D. Jakes on television. I said, okay, when your wife's got breast cancer and y'all down there at the hospital begging God to do something and you want your pastor to come, call him.
Right. Yeah.
He ain't coming. He's not a pastor. He's a showman. He's a businessman. Same way with Transformation, Elevation. Jesus went out after his sheep, and when they couldn't come back on their own, he picked them up and carried them just like he has me and you. Many times he's carried me. Many times. You say, "Oh, you're a preacher, man. You've been preaching since..." I've been preaching since 80, and I've licensed in 81 and ordained in 82. And they'll say, "Man, you've been doing that a long time. You know it all. You got it all settled. And everything's always good with you in your house." No, sir, it's been many times he had to pick me up and carry me. I didn't want to go no farther.
Amen.
Amen. I told my wife the other day, I'm not going to church. She said, "You got to. You're the pastor." Amen. Y'all remember that joke about the golfing pastor? You're the golfer. You remember that? Yeah. Pastor can't lay out of church. He got to go. Who carries him? The great pastor. Amen. The chief shepherd. He carries us, and he'll carry you too. And then not only that, in 1 Peter 5:4, it says, "And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall all receive a crown that fades not away." Now, he's the chief shepherd. He's the CEO. I told somebody one day, they were asking about the difference between independent Baptist churches and Southern Baptist churches. And a lot of times people from up north, they'll come here and they'll say, "Oh, y'all Southern Baptist church." I said, "Yeah. We're in the South and we're Baptist." Now, do you follow the... I forget what they call that thing, their statement of faith. I said, if you go back to 1963 and read that one, it's a lot like us. But after that, it's changed so far. I don't even want to talk about it. But he's the chief shepherd. He's the CEO. He's the president. Amen? We don't get instructions from Nashville. Amen? We're not looking to. We don't have a denominational hierarchy. All you're doing is putting yourself back into something like the Catholic Church when you do that.
Yes, you are.
And I don't want to hurt my Southern Baptist brethren's feelings, and I know there's probably some watching on that thing right there, but we don't need a... They used to call the association director, they called him the mission director. You remember that?
Yes, sir.
Don't do that anymore. They call him the associational director. Now, he's a nice man. I've met him and I've talked to him. But let me tell you something. I don't need a director.
That's right.
I've got a shepherd. His name's Jesus. Amen?
Amen?
And you do that stuff, you're going to set yourself up with these little popes. Mm-hmm. Instead of having one big pope, you got a bunch of little popes that you're having to answer to and your church is having to answer to. The church that I'm looking at right now that I think we may even get, and y'all pray about it. I'm not telling you where it's at or nothing, because I heard you disappointed you last time we talked about it. You remember that other one? Disappointed you. But I've talked to the people, and they like me, and we're at the top of the list. But they haven't asked me if we belong to the association. It's an associational church. And it's funny how they'll rent their facilities to a Pentecostal Mexican illegal alien church.
Yeah, go ahead. Just go ahead and say it.
But they are awful picky about selling it to a fundamental Baptist church. That's strange, ain't it? That's strange. Now, we don't have a president. We don't have a vice president. We don't have a secretary general. We don't have a president of public affairs and a president of Bible colleges. And it just goes on and on and on and on and on and on. And pretty soon you don't know who you're following and you don't know who's in charge. I do. We come to our church. Hey, our president's Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God the Father is the CEO. Jesus is the assistant. Yeah. And the Holy Ghost is the administrator.
Yes, sir.
And I'm just an under-shepherd. I'm just a guy that runs around, bites you on the back of the legs to keep you in line. That's all I am. Amen. I'm just a member of your church and God seemed fit. Let me preach. Amen. That still amazes me. And it amazed Billy this morning when he left it at 12:30. And listen, even the Pentecostals was through out at the buffet when he got there. The black churches done come and gone when he got out there. You know you're late if you get there after the black folks. But he's the chief shepherd. He's the one. Listen, and one day he's going to appear, and it says it right there. We're going to stand before him. We're going to give account to him.
That's right.
Amen. Yes.
You're not going to give account to me. You're not going to give account to deacons. You're not going to give your account to the associational director or president or whatever it is now, the South Carolina Baptist Convention or the Southern Baptist Convention or any association or any fellowship. By the way, I don't have much confidence in those things either anymore. I used to. But I'm looking unto Jesus to often finish with my faith. Amen? He's the chief shepherd. Brother Ron, I love you to death. I'll take your advice. Some I will. But I'm letting him tell me what to do.
Amen.
Many times, ladies, listen to this. Many times, I'm sure my wife, well, I know she is. She about had a nervous breakdown. When I got saved, I didn't know what a preacher was. A man brought me a bag of Winn-Dixie, bag of cassette tapes that big with Jack Hiles and Bob Gray and Tom Malone, all these people. I just got saved. He said, listen to these. The Lord put me flat on my back for one whole week. He did. I had the flu for one whole week. And in that bed that whole week, I lay there and listened to those tapes and cried like a baby. Sick as a dog, but well in the spirit and grew and grew and grew more in one week than I would in years. And I had a good pastor. He loved me. I had people that loved me. But I found out laying in that bed that day that Jesus is the one I'll answer to.
Amen.
He's the one that I'll stand before one day and give account for what I did in this body.
Come on now. Yep.
And so I went back that after a couple months. It just stayed on me. It took a year. Finally, I didn't know what was wrong with me. Billy, I knew I was saved. I was joyful in my salvation. I knew I was going to heaven, but I couldn't sleep. I couldn't eat. I couldn't work. I couldn't play because I kept thinking, every time I'd read, he'd tell Moses, go do this. I heard my name. I know y'all don't believe that, but in my mind, I heard my name. And every time he told Joshua to go do something, I heard my name. And then I go over to the New Testament, he tells Peter, feed my sheep. And I hear Ron, go feed my sheep. And I don't understand what's going on, so I listen to more preaching. I learn some more. I didn't have a pastor come up to me one day and say, you ought to be a preacher. Matter of fact, when I surrendered that day, everybody went, oh. And then the big softball player, he comes up and he surrenders a couple weeks later and says, woo! I didn't know. One of those tapes said, a preacher ought to go to Bible college. I went down to the mill. I said, I'm quitting. Where are you going to work? I ain't got no job. What you going to do? I'm going to Bible college. Oh, where are you going to get the money? I ain't got no money. Well, I told my wife, I quit my job today. Can you imagine how a 20-something-year-old mother with two little children, on one on each leg, 10 and a half months apart, she looked at me and thought, we ain't been paying the bills real good so far. What we going to do now? I'm telling you, I didn't always know what to do. Brother, you're starting church in Lancaster. This fellow came up to me, and I told y'all about it, and I see the clock. This fellow came up to me and he said this. He said, I think we'll start a church in Lancaster because I was from Lancaster. I knew a lot of people. Back then, everybody knew everybody, you know, and we cruised the streets and hippies and all that stuff. And so I said, okay. I didn't know anything about starting a church. I didn't know you were supposed to have a church to send you to start a church.
Amen.
That guy didn't either. We was both in Bible college, been there for 2 months, and we knew everything. We really knew nothing. So we went down there and found one building that me and him could afford, and we pitched our money in together. He did construction. I worked in the mill. And look, we found one building we could afford. It was the old liquor store on Midway. Y'all don't know nothing about Midway. It ain't there no more. It's down there at the mill. That's where all the drunks and winos hung out. And on the top up there, it was two stories up there on top. We had red dots on the bottom. Up on top it said the Sugar Shack. And we rented that thing. And we thought, well, it's going to be a place we meet. That's church. We didn't have money to buy curtains to put in the thing. It had big old plate glass windows. It had been the liquor store. Remember that? And we got out there knocking on all those doors. That mill hill in Lancaster, those old mill hills had thousands of doors. And I'd try to tell people where we were. And they'd say, I don't know what you're talking about. And I'd say, the Sugar Shack. Oh, yeah, we know where the Sugar Shack is. We named it Tabernacle Baptist Church. We should have named it Sugar Shack Baptist Church. Or Liquor Store Baptist Church.
Yeah.
We'd paint over them red dots and they'd bleed through in a couple of weeks. So up here's a big sign that says Tabernacle Baptist Church. Down here's red dots. I didn't know what I was doing. But I'll tell you what I was doing. I was trying to keep people out of hell. I was trying to be true to the Word. I was trying to preach the Word. I didn't know what I was doing, but I was doing the best I knew how with what I had. And the chief shepherd took care of me, buddy. And I'll answer to him for that. I'll answer to him for every bit of it. Now, it didn't last but about 18 months when finally somebody came to us and said, boys, y'all don't know what in the world y'all doing. And really, I could have kept going, but they really discouraged me. But we closed the church, gave money to missions. We didn't have but about 12 people. So let's go on. One more, and I'll let you go home. And by the way, tomorrow is my birthday, and Sister Hazel gave me a dozen bananas and a jar of peanut butter for my birthday. And I'm going home, and I'm going to eat me a peanut butter and banana sandwich, and I'm going to sing like Elvis. That was his favorite, don't you remember? I think he choked to death on one, but I don't know. But I want you to know something. He's also the coming shepherd. He's the coming shepherd. And I'm not going to read all of this, but Ezekiel 34, verse 11 and 12, he said, for thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will both search my sheep and seek them out. He's coming back to get us, folks. Have you ever thought about this? I go to the cemetery a lot. I preach a lot of funerals. And now my whole family, I've got, you know, four brothers, four sisters. We buried. My mama's 99. I had to go search out her cemetery plot the other day, make sure it's still there. And there's four others that are empty that nobody's five. And one, four, nobody will get because they're all gone. They're all dead. And But I go to that cemetery and I start looking at people that have my name, which is really not me because Roddy wasn't my father. I don't know who my father was, but that's the name I've carried all my life. And so I look at the Roddy's and I look at the Robinsons. That was my mama's name. And they go back into the early 1800s. They came over as Scotch-Irish, you know. And I look at them and I think, wonder when the last time somebody looked at this grave was. I mean, if you were born in 1824 and you lived 30 years and died, who would be looking for your grave at the cemetery? And I tell people who think they're somebody, I say, look, 25 years from now, nobody will even know where you're buried. Don't think you're somebody. And I say, there's only one that cares where you're buried. His name's Jesus Christ. And if you know Him, one day, it doesn't matter if you got a headstone or not. The trumpet's going to sound, you coming out of that ground. Amen? Amen? I preached 3 or 4 funerals over here at the Pauper Cemetery on Highway 161 at the back. They have a Pauper Cemetery. That's if you can't afford a plot, they'll give you one and bury you in that. And one was from a church family, and the young man wasted his life and got saved right there at the end, you know, like that happens a lot of times. But he died, and they put him in that. They didn't hardly cremate people back then. Too many people were getting cremated. I don't care how you think about that. I just don't like it, and I'm sorry if you don't like I said that. But they didn't cremate him. They buried people back then, and they buried him in that thing. They make sure that they face the body facing the east. The cemetery people do. And I told his sister, she was standing there crying real bad. She said, I can't even afford a headstone. She said, preacher, it's not going to be marked. It's the pauper cemetery. They don't even let you put a marker on it. You can put a little temporary cross or something made out of wood or something that's going to fall away. But nobody's going to know he's buried here. I said, you're wrong. Jesus knows where he's buried.
Amen.
And I said, besides that, nobody else can bring him up anyway. Amen. And one day, he's the coming shepherd. He is the coming shepherd. Now, sometimes, pastor in church, I feel like this. Brother Dan, Brother Ron, I feel like this. I feel like I'm the under-shepherd. And the sheep get tired of me. I figure they get tired of me. But don't worry, I'm not going anywhere. I plan to preach all your funerals. Amen. I'm going to outlive y'all. My mama's 99. Looks like I'm taking after her. And I'm going to preach till I can't. But sometimes I feel like I'm that little sheepdog running around, yap, yap, bite, bite, yap, yap, bite, bite, and keeping it. And I wish that preacher would leave me alone. I wish it. Preacher, don't come over to my house no more. Preacher, you're embarrassing me. Preacher, I bring visitors and you yap and you go on. And get away, preacher, leave me alone. But you know what? There's one that's watching over you. And you're going to be happy when you hear Him.
Amen.
And when He comes and He calls your name and gathers us together, you're finally going to get to meet in person, eyeball to eyeball, the great shepherd.
Amen.
And He's coming. He's coming. Now, I don't put much stock. I used to when I was a young preacher. I don't put much stock in today's headlines. There's some preacher today preached something about Syria. I'm sure that it's the end of the world. There's another preacher preached today about Muslims and they're going to destroy all the churches. I'm sure that's being preached all over this place right now. There was another one preaching how bad our president is. He's killing innocent people with missiles. And that's a sign of the end of the world. It's coming. Well, I've got news for you. The world's been the ending ever since they nailed him to the cross. We've lived in the last days and he's coming back. And it doesn't matter what they do in Syria, it doesn't matter what they do at the White House or the outhouse. He's coming back.
That's right.
And listen, when he comes back, Brother Dan, he knows where people in California are buried.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. If you went down in a ship somewhere and drowned, he knows where you're at. If you got burned up a fire, he knows where you're at. And one day that great shepherd's coming in all his glory and all his power, and he's going to blow that horn. Da, 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 come up hither! And all the sheep are going to rush to him. I didn't always know this, but I saw it, Brother Dan. You can get 3 or 4 herds of sheep, I guess you call them herds, and they'll get mixed up. I guess they talk to each other. I don't know. That's kind of like going to Pentecostal church. I really don't know what's going on. But maybe they talk to each other, I don't know, in unknown languages. And you'll have 3 shepherds stand up there, and one, all he's got to do is say, yep, yep.
That's right.
And they'll start dividing, and the ones that belong to him will go to him.
That's right.
That's why he said, my sheep know me, and they know my voice. And they won't follow another shepherd.
That's right.
And when the transformation, elevation, levitation, whatever it is, crowd still down here flashing the lights and blowing the smoke, we'll be up yonder with the great shepherd. Amen. He's coming. And he's my shepherd.
Amen.
When I was a little boy, they called us white trash. I heard one mama say to her little boys one day, "Why you hang around with that white trash?" Talking about me and my little brother. I got news for me, for you. My little brother's in heaven and I'm on my way.
That's right.
And one day, the trumpet's going to sound. The great shepherd's going to pick out the ugliest sheep in town. Still raise them up from the grave. The dirtiest ones in town, he's going to raise them up just like the best and the cleanest.
That's right.
Amen. This week, why don't we look for the shepherd? Why don't we look for his direction, his guidance, his protection, his mercy, his compassion, and stop looking for people to make us happy, and stop looking for programs to make us happy, and stop looking to the government to make us happy, even the church to make us happy. Why don't we look to the shepherd and let him feed us and water us and guide us and protect us and lay us down in green pastures? Let's stand. Father, thank you for the Word of God that never changes.